Genesis chapter 13 and the verse 7. We considered the first part of this chapter last Lord's Day morning. And just to set the context, we begin our reading at verse 7 this morning and reading to the end of the chapter. It says, "And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. The Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. The Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord." Amen. We conclude our reading at the close of the chapter. May the Lord add his blessing to the public reading of his inspired and precious word. In our examination of Lot's life, we have noted that he is a believer with particular relevance to the 21st century Christian. We have also noted that sadly he got out of touch with the Lord and lost out in fellowship with God's people. And he was that close relative of Abraham, the man of God. He was Abraham's nephew. Last week we left Lot in a very sad scene. There was strife in the family. Verse 7 tells us there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. In verse 8, we discovered that it was a strife that began with other people, but it became a strife for them because Abram said, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between thee and between me. And so it affected Abram's relationship with Lot and vice versa. We commented that it was sad when believing families, and indeed the family of God, are marked by strife that was not over spiritual things, but over temporal things. And the word of the Lord tells us that we are to strive for unity because it is there that the Lord commands the blessing. We also outlined that it was Abram who sought to make peace. He said in verse 8, Let there be no strife, I pray thee. And Abram is viewed as the peacemaker. The Bible tells us we are to live where lies within us. We are to be at peace with all men. And how much more with those of the family of faith. And we commented that we were to be like Abram in the work of God rather than Lot. And sadly, Lot didn't want to hear. He is presented as one who was stubborn, one who was determined to go his own way, even at the cost of his relationship with his uncle Abram. And so Abram gave him both an ultimatum and a choice. You'll see that in verse 9, the ultimatum was, separate thyself. Lot, if you can't live at peace, then you're going to have to move away. That's an ultimatum. And then he gave him a choice in verse 9. I pray thee, if thou wilt take the left hand, then thou wilt go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right, then I will go to the left. It was as if Abram was giving him a warning. And hearing that warning and hearing those words, Lot should have pulled back. Matthew Henry commenting said, Lot should have expressed his unwillingness to separate from his uncle. He should have sought a compromise and a solution. Furthermore, if he must depart, he should have shown respect and given Abram the choice. But Lot did no such thing. Instead, verse 11 tells us, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot, with a stubborn heart, jumped to make the decision. He did not heed the warning. He did not endeavor to make peace as his uncle had suggested. No, rather he is one who appears to be selfish, disrespectful, uninterested in harmony and unity with his fellow believer and family member. And I say to you this morning, don't let those things characterize you as a Christian. Don't let selfishness or stubbornness or temporal interests characterize your life as a believer, that you would put those things before harmony and unity with other believers. We noted and said last week that this was not a doctrinal matter or a worship matter or a spiritual matter. It was over temporal things. And yet that spirit of self-centeredness so manifested in his heart that he had nothing but disrespect and contempt for his uncle, and he jumped to make the choice. Verse 11, Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Separating from his uncle was the worst decision he ever made. And we can extend that today to say his choice was the worst choice that he ever made. It tells us that he chose all the plain of Jordan. And it was the worst choice that this man, this believer, ever made. And this morning, I want us to focus and concentrate on Lot's choice. And I want you to see firstly the reason for his choice. You see, verse 10 tells us what Lot's response was to Abram when he said, if you take the right hand, look at the land, you take the right hand, I'll go to the left. You go to the left, and I'll go to the right. And then verse 10 tells us what Lot did in response. It says, and Lot lifted up his eyes. Isn't that interesting? Let's just pause there for a moment. Lot didn't choose the well-watered plain of Jordan that led him to Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain because God told him to go there. It doesn't say that Lot began to pray and ask the Lord for direction or counsel. It doesn't say that in this great decision that Lot had to make in his life, that he acknowledged the Lord in all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. No. That's what a believer should do. When a Christian has a major decision or a choice to make, they should trust in the Lord, that the Lord will lead them, the Lord will guide them aright, and they should acknowledge him, give the Lord his place, and say, Lord, what will you have me to do in this situation? What direction will you have me to go? I am your child. I am in your will. I am in your hands. I'll go wherever you want. I'll do whatever you please. Lord, what would you have me to do? That's what the Christian should do. Ask the question as Paul did. What will thou have me to do? Lot didn't do that. No, what verse 10 says is, he lifted up his eyes and he beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Lot made the choice. He made the decision by the outward appearance. What looked, what seemed best for him, and more importantly for him, for his business interests and for his financial interests. Look at verse 10. He chose the well watered plain because to the outward eye, it looked prosperous. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the well-watered plain, that it was, beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well-watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. The plain of Jordan, it was well-watered. It was there that the best pasture would be found for his flocks and for his herds. It was there that he could produce the best livestock and get the best price. That he could increase his business empire. And therefore, by the outward eye, that's what seemed best. But men and women, appearances can be deceptive. All that glitters is not gold. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And let me say very clearly, the choice that Lot made was taken solely on the basis of temporal prosperity. And let me again underline the fact and be very balanced in what I am saying. It isn't sinful to do well or to be astute in business. But it is sin to put temporal prosperity before spiritual principles. And it is sin to compromise your testimony and to cause such strife among the people of God that Lot did for the sake of earthly prosperity and gain. And that was where Lot went wrong. He looked outwardly to see what would be best for him, and he chose the way of the flesh and the way of the world. And by the sight of the eyes, he chose the way that seemed prosperous. You'll look at verse 10 again, and you'll see he made this choice because it seemed perfect. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Notice this, even as the garden of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, that plain of Jordan running down to those cities, it was like the garden of the Lord, the Garden of Eden. I believe it's a reference to its fruitfulness and its productivity. Eden was without sin until Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. And it was a place that was well watered. It was a place of fruitfulness and productivity. And so Lot looked upon it, and it seemed the perfect place to locate, the perfect place to do business. Abram's giving him his choice. It seems he can't lose. It's a perfect place. But he's choosing by the sight of the eyes. And what seemed prosperous and what seemed perfect, men and women, to the believer, it was perilous. Why do I say that? Look again at verse 10, and it tells us it was even as the garden of the Lord. But then it adds this little bit. Like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. It was like Egypt. Lot had been in Egypt with Abram in chapter 12. And what is Egypt a picture of and a type of in the Bible? It's a picture and a type of the world. It's appealing to the eyes. It's appealing to the flesh. But it enslaved and it impoverished the people of God. And there's no help to be found there. Woe, said the prophet unto them that go down to Egypt for help. And when Lot dwelt in Egypt as a believer, Egypt got into his heart and into his mind. And when he was given the choice, he chose the well-watered plain because it was just like Egypt. Lot chose that well-watered plain of Sodom because, like Egypt, it had a worldly character to it. Those of us that are saved, we need to take the warning from the Bible. Worldliness hinders God's children from serving Him. If that worldly spirit gets into our hearts and we give it place in our lives, it will hinder us from serving the Lord, from doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Paul said of Demas in 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And Demas accompanying Paul on his missionary journeys, Demas being a helper to Paul in the service of the Lord, he abandoned it. He gave it up. He no longer served the Lord with Paul because he abandoned him, having loved this present world. There were things, we believe it was Thessalonica he returned to, and there were things there that he wanted to do that were worldly in nature and character. He gave up serving the Lord to pursue those worldly interests. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 12:2, that worldliness is not to characterize the Christian life. He said we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. The word conformed in Romans 12:2 means to be fashioned. Our lives are not to be fashioned after the ungodly, after the worldly ways. He says we're not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And therefore, the Christian is not to set their affections on worldly things, but rather on things that are above. For if, like Lot, you set your affections on the world, and if, like Lot, you make your choices in life because of the worldly character and nature of those things, then like him, eventually you will backslide. You will make shipwreck of your testimony. And you'll end up impoverished in the faith of the gospel. That's the reason Lot chose the well-watered plain that led to Sodom. And what a warning it is to every one of us to shun the ways of the world and to make our choices in life based upon prayer and the leading and guiding of the Lord for the spiritual benefit of our souls and our families and those around us. I want you to look then again at this passage and see the second thought in relation to Lot's choice. Not only the reason for his choice, but notice the revelation of his choice. When Lot chose the plain of Jordan and journeyed east, it revealed something about his character. Now you'll see this at the end of verse 12. For it tells us that Lot, he dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. That reveals something about his character. And the choices that we make in life reveal our character, whether we are spiritual or whether we are making decisions after a carnal nature and way. And in verse 12, we're told he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Sodom was the capital of sin. We're told in verse 13, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. I don't know why Lot preferred the company and wanted to be among those men as opposed to dwelling with his faithful uncle Abram in the plains. Nevertheless, that's where Lot intended to go. And he chose to go to the place where he was accompanying. He was, as we would maybe term it, fellowshipping, spending time, socializing with the ungodly. I don't know whether it was because there were family pressures or influences brought to bear. Lot's wife was not a believer. His children were not believers. I don't know whether it was those things that prompted him to pitch his tent towards Sodom. But he's making the choice, and it's revealing his character, that he is filled with his own ways. He has abandoned the way of the Savior, and he is abandoning the saints, and he is choosing sin. He's backsliding. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. He's going his own way. He's doing his own thing. He is aiming toward the place and the people of sin. But you know, there's a very important principle that we're not to miss when we consider what this is revealing about Lot's character. Notice that verse 12 says, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He didn't leave Abram and go straight to the city of Sodom. He dwelled around and in the cities of the plain, but he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now you look at chapter 14 and the verse 12. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. He leaves Abraham and he pitches his tent towards Sodom. In other words, it's the intention in his mind. It doesn't appear that way at that moment in time. He's just separated from Abram. He's dwelling by the cities of the plain, but his tent's towards Sodom. That's where he's aiming to go. And in chapter 14, verse 12, he's dwelling in Sodom. Now look over to chapter 19 and the verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. He pitches his tent towards Sodom. Then he's a little later, he's dwelling and living in Sodom. And then a little later still, he's sitting in the gate of Sodom. The gate of a city in Old Testament times was where official government business was transacted. The business of the city or the town or the local council, as we would say. And it seems to be that in chapter 19 and verse 1, Lot had a position, a civil position in the city of Sodom. And the point I'm making is this, there is a gradual decline. He didn't leave Abraham and go immediately and become a figurehead, a judge, a civil ruler holding a position of some sort in Sodom. No, he just pitched his tent toward that city. And then he went a little further down the line and he lived in the city. And then he went a little further still and he became some sort of officer in the city. And brethren and sisters, the point that each one of us need to note is this, that backsliding is gradual, but it always leads to a downward spiral. The prodigal son did not go from the father's house to the pigsty. He did not even go from the father's house to the harlot's house. No, he simply went from the father's house on a journey. And it was a journey that took him to the far country. And then in the far country, he made company with those who were sinners. And those that were sinners took him to the house of ill repute, influenced him. And then he spent all that he had and he ended up in the swine trough. And you see the point that we're making. The way down from God,
The backsliding, it starts in the heart, and then little by little, it manifests itself. An abandoning of God's people. Socializing with the ungodly. And I warn you, men and women, and young people as well, the hymn writer said, make friends of God's children. Spend your private time, the time that you have, with those children of the Lord, those of like precious faith. Because the tragedy of Lot's life was that when he left his uncle Abram, the choice that he made, it showed the intentions of his heart, and it was a downward spiral into sin. And when you start that slope of backsliding, it's a gradual downward decline. My wife was just telling me during the week of someone that she knows who has a profession of faith. We are not that person's judge. But she spoke about this individual and how she would be very forthright in saying that she had no problem with one glass of wine at dinner time. And yet, a little later, and a few months on down the line, it's now the bottle or two bottles. You see, it's a path downwards when you start to compromise with sin. I could give other examples of when friends were young people and they abandoned godly company. A steady Christian girlfriend, and they abandoned Christian company for other company. They abandoned a sound gospel church for a contemporary church. And today that individual is nowhere with the Lord. Life in a mess. You see, the road downwards, men and women and young people, it's gradual. It starts with little steps. Lot only began by pitching his tent towards Sodom, and yet it ended up he was dwelling among them. He had a position among them. He was just like them, and when he tried to testify to them, they thought he was one that mocked. And oh, how we need to take heed to the scripture warnings. The wise man Solomon said in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Savior himself in Luke 21:34, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overtaken with surfeiting. An old word. I had to go online this week. I was looking at it's in the Bible. I thought I need to look that word up. And of course, the online dictionary tells you how to pronounce it. And it was pronounced differently than I would pronounce it. But let me tell you what it means. It just means excess, particularly in eating and drinking and socializing, as it were. And what the Lord was saying, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be taken over with excess in social things. Socializing particularly in the wrong type of company. And you're overtaken and you start that spiral downwards. Oh, keep the world and the devil out. Because once you start that slippery slope, it will take you farther and farther away from the Lord. The revelation of his choice, it reveals that he was on the road downward. The reason for his choice, he chose the worldly over the spiritual. But I want to thirdly this morning, the result of his choice. Notice verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Isn't it very interesting that the Lord did not speak to Abram once he returned to the land from Egypt until after Lot had separated himself and Abraham had given him the ultimatum. And he separated. And it wasn't until then that God spoke again to Abram. And it would tend to me, to say to me, that Lot had become an hindrance to Abraham. And you know, there can be those perhaps in our lives, and oh, they're saved, and yet they still can be a hindrance. And Lot had become a hindrance to Abram. And when Lot separated, it was after that separation that the Lord began to speak again to Abram, and he said, lift up your eyes, look at the land, look at it northward and southward, eastward and westward. To this land I give it to you and to your seed. The point that I would make about Lot is this, that by refusing to make peace with Abram, by refusing to dwell in harmony with him, he missed out on the blessing of God, because God was going to bless Abram in an even greater way. The sad reality is that when men and women or young people get away from the Lord and start to make choices based upon the world and how the world takes prominence in their lives, they will lose out with God. They will lose out on the speaking voice of God. The Lord did not speak to Lot. The Lord spoke to Abram. It's interesting to note in chapter 18, the Lord came down to speak to Abram. But in chapter 19, he sent his two angels to Lot. Lot lost out in communion with the Lord. And he lost out in hearing of the blessing that God was going to give and do through Abram. What might seem like temporal, earthly gain brings spiritual loss. And that's why the Lord warns his people not to go down the road of backsliding and not to abandon him. May we keep our hearts. May the Lord keep us from falling. And may he keep us in the way. May we never lose sight of Jesus. And may all our decisions be made acknowledging the Lord and allowing him to direct our paths.